The scripture reading this afternoon comes to us from Colossians 2, verse 1 to 15. Colossians 2, verse 1 to 15. Starting at verse 1. I would want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I'm absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So far the reading.
You know, as we look at baptism this afternoon, the portion of scripture that relates to baptism certainly is verses 11 and 12. But I would like us, particularly this afternoon, to consider how verses 13 and 14 relate to baptism as well. Because baptism, we know that the Spirit is using the sacrament to focus our faith on Jesus Christ. And I'd just like to reread verses 13 and 14 of Colossians 2. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, that is with Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Now, turn with me in the Heidelberg Catechism to Lord's Day 26 and Lord's Day 27. These are the two Lord's Days that are dealing with baptism. And this afternoon, as we consider baptism, we're going to consider the meaning of baptism, the message of baptism, and also the mark of baptism as we look at these two Lord's Days. And it begins asking, how does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. In other words, all my sins. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means that God, by grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood, poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. Where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." The promise is repeated when Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Now we're going to continue in Lord's Day 27. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. Why then does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins? God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, he wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. Should infants too be baptized? Yes. Infants, as well as adults, are in God's covenant and are his people. They, no less than adults, are promised the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who produces faith. Therefore, by baptism, the mark of the covenant, infants should be received into the Christian church and should be distinguished from children of unbelievers. This was done in the Old Testament by circumcision, which was replaced in the New Testament by baptism. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word as we consider it this morning, or this afternoon. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would grant us the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to recognize and to appreciate and to stand in the confidence of baptism, of this sacrament which you have instituted for the church to find comfort in, to find strength in, to find joy in. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we looked at the preceding Lord's Day, Lord's Day 25, we talked about how God is working among us, and particularly the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working with the sermon and the sacrament to focus our faith on Jesus Christ. Sometimes we talk about grace being administered, that God is bestowing his grace on us, and God does that by communicating with us. He communicates through word, but he also communicates visually through the sacraments. We know that primarily God communicates with the word, and that's the reason why preaching is central to our life as the church and as Christians. This is the way that God has designed the Spirit to produce faith in our hearts. It's why knowledge of God's word is important, so that we can test. We can be like the Bereans to see whether the things that the preacher is saying is true, whether it comports with the whole teaching of God's word. That's why searching the scriptures is designed to focus our faith on the work of Jesus Christ, developing our listening, developing our hearing, so that we learn to listen for the grace of God, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, of how God intervenes in the life of his people to show the work of Jesus Christ. But God also communicates the work of Christ to us. He expresses that to us in a visual presentation of the sacraments. This afternoon, we consider the sacrament of baptism. God is showing and focusing our faith to us. He's showing to us the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're considering when we consider the meaning of baptism. What does baptism show us? Like all communication, it's important that we interpret the meaning of what God is showing to us properly. Baptism is a special form of communication. It's holy, it's a sacrament, it's sacred. It reflects the character of God, and He has established it for the church to use. It's not just for anyone to baptize, it's for the church, for those commissioned by Christ to be expressing this baptism in the baptism of the disciples as He commissioned them in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of the nations. The way we disciple the nations, one of those ways is baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son. And so it's something holy. It's something for us as a church to use. But we also recognize that it's personal. It's beautifully a personal communication. It is the time in which, through the ordained messenger of the Lord, God is speaking to us as individuals. He uses our name as we are baptized individually or personally into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beautiful question of question answer 69. How does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? Personally. God deals with us as a body, but He never loses sight of who we are individually and personally. And He wants to communicate with you in this way. He wants you to know that the work of Jesus Christ is for you personally. It's for every one of us. And it's a special form of communication. It's a sacramental form. That's why the language that God's word uses, we need to reflect on and we need to consider as we understand the meaning of this language. It's a special language. A sacramental language. And this is where the Heidelberg Catechism stresses there are two things, two truths that are being communicated with us through the sacrament of baptism. And we often don't think about that. We think of God's word focusing our faith on Christ, and that's true, and the sacrament focusing our faith on Christ as well. And that is to be sure, but notice what the Catechism says. There's actually two things. To be washed with Christ's blood, that's one thing. But there's another one. There's to be washed with Christ's Spirit. Question and answer 70 deal with those two ideas. We're washed with Christ's blood, and we are washed with Christ's Spirit. What is the meaning of this? What is going on when God is communicating with us personally and addressing us personally as individuals? We're washed with Christ's blood. The reality is every one of us from conception onward is dirty, stained because of our sins. Every one of us needs to be washed. And for that reason, God has appointed the washing of Christ's blood to remind us that Christ was shed, His blood was shed, it was poured out for me in His sacrifice on the cross. But then there's this other idea. We're washed by Christ's Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit who renews us and sets us apart as holy. The Holy Spirit is renewing us and setting us apart to be a member of Christ so that we live more and more as God has called us. Now let's talk about the relationship between these two washings, baptism with Christ and baptism with the Holy Spirit. In God's work of redemption, they are inseparable. If you're washed with Christ, you need to be washed with the Holy Spirit, and you will be washed with the Holy Spirit. If you're washed with the Holy Spirit, you've also been washed with Christ. They're inseparable. We can't take them apart. Baptism with Christ, you see, deals with our hearts, our right standing with God. But baptism with the Spirit addresses our habits. Baptism with Christ deals with our hearts. Baptism with the Holy Spirit deals with our habits. And now, unless we understand the fullness of what is going on, we will be in danger of separating those ideas. Let's just think of how that works out together. We know that God forgives sins, and we often separate and we forget about the fact that we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. We just think about the fact that we're baptized with Christ. The blood of Christ has been shed so that all my sins have been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we begin to cite that like a mantra. I am a sinner. I know that Jesus deals with my sins. And all my sins are forgiven. And that's all we celebrate. But such is an abuse of baptism if we're not concerned with our habits of holiness. Because being a Christian is not just about having our sins forgiven. It's also about having our hearts renewed in such a way that we want to cultivate Christ-like holy habits. But here again, the danger is we might try and develop habits of holiness. We want to live distinctly from the world. We want more and more holiness, and so we're always trying harder and harder to live a more holy life. And sometimes we get frustrated that we haven't made more progress than we have, and we strive for, and what we settle for in this striving for holiness is just some sort of external conformity, that the Christian life just becomes a habit that we do, and that's all it is. And you see what we've done. We've separated the habit from the heart. We focused on the washing of Christ's Spirit, that we want to be renewed, that we want to be set apart from the world, we want to be distinct from the world, and we just make that a habit, and we think that's all the Christian life is. It's what Jesus so frequently faced with the Jews. They thought that if they could cultivate enough habits, they could make themselves right with God. But it takes both, and they are inseparably linked. Our habits and our heart, the work of Christ's blood and the work of Christ's Spirit. That's the meaning of baptism. Baptism teaches us. In baptism, God is communicating to us this deep, profound meaning that we need the washing of Christ and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And it is this understanding of baptism that drives our awareness of the institution. That's behind the message. Behind the message of baptism, and that secondly. If that's the meaning, please don't confuse the receiving of the sacrament with the receiving of God's grace. We need to understand the message of baptism. And the message of baptism says there's this meaning of the washing of Christ's blood and the washing of Christ's Spirit that is for you. It is a gift of grace. It is what God will accomplish. But then there's the message. Does that outward washing with water itself wash away sins? No, the message is only Jesus Christ's blood and only the Holy Spirit cleanse us from those sins. But they are so closely connected that God wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that it's real, that he really does this. That's the message. Now, we live in a world that thrives on virtual representation. If we see it on the screen, it's regarded as almost as good as being there. When I was growing up, we had these magnificent presentations. They were slideshows back then, long before PowerPoints, and they would come with this reel of slides of someone who had gone on a holiday to Europe or to Mexico, and they would come with this slideshow, and they would present it on the big screen there. They were called travelogues. And you could buy tickets to go to the travelogue. And the person who had been to this country had visited the country, and he'd come back and he'd present this travelogue. And they said, now you can have a taste of what it's like to be there. And he'd show all the pictures of everything, and he'd give a running commentary of everything that they had experienced as they went to these various places. And it was a promotional technique of the beauty of travel. Well, now we can go there on Google Maps. And it's almost as good as being there. But not quite. You don't have the heat, you don't have the smells, you don't have the sounds. And how careful we need to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. That what God is communicating isn't some virtual representation. That's the warning that God's word is giving. Resounding as it summarized in Lord's Day 27, just because you've seen what it means, just because you've seen the presentation of what it means to be washed with Christ and washed with the Holy Spirit, doesn't yet mean that you have been. Understand the message of baptism. Believe in the message of baptism that God is communicating to you, that Christ and His Spirit can perform that cleansing, but don't presume upon it. Don't say that because I've got the outward thing that I've received that. But on the other hand, also, don't doubt it. Don't doubt what God is saying to you. Here too, in the church, we're not having baptism simply as a show of some virtual possibility that exists somewhere along the line. God has good reason for this statement. God has a reason because He wants to use these words that baptism reflects the washing of regeneration, because He wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as a physical washing of the water. There's a message here for your soul. There's a message here for every one of us. That's why we need to maintain the congregational character of the sacrament of baptism, that it's more than just the person who's being spoken to here. God is speaking to every one of us as we witness this sacrament, and He's saying, are you a baptized person? Have you been baptized in the name of the triune God? And have you responded to that baptism with faith? And where you've responded in faith and believe in the washing that Christ has performed by His blood and the Spirit has performed by His being planted in your hearts through faith, do you see this is what you have received? That's why I think most beautifully Colossians 2 is reminding us, you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you couldn't be more separated, more alienated from God. But He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. That's the baptism of Christ. All your debt, the record of your debt, has been canceled with its legal demands. It's been nailed to the cross. You don't bear it anymore. But just as surely as you've been washed with Christ's blood, so surely you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now, holiness is yours by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the message. He wants to assure you with this divine pledge and sign. It's a promise that God will work in such a way. When we're struggling in sanctification, when we're struggling with sin in our lives, do we short-circuit this and say, well, it's up to me? Or do we go back to our baptism and say, but wait a minute, I'm a baptized person. Christ has promised me the Spirit, which will allow me to have these habits. Oh, the wonder of the power of Christ's work. He has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. That's what the Spirit is reminding us. That's what the Spirit is assuring us. That's what the Spirit is teaching us, to give up trusting in ourselves and putting our trust in God alone. God is communicating with us this message that the Spirit has been poured out in all of His fullness for you to live in a different way, to have your heart changed and your habits changed. And God says, my guarantee of that inseparable reality that I want you to see is in the waters of baptism. Because you're washed with Christ's blood for the forgiveness of your sins, with Christ's Spirit for your renewal and consecration and sanctification. That's the message. thirdly, the mark. Baptism is given as a mark to identify us as God's people. Because God's promise of salvation through Jesus Christ is for infants as well as adults. And this is what we recognize in the coming of Jesus Christ. When he was born, he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He was born as a baby, securing salvation from infancy to adulthood as he lived a substitutionary life, as he gave himself in a substitutionary death so that we, by him, could be set apart. This is why, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we must call children as well as adults to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, because God's promises are for them, for children as well as adults. And this mark not only identifies the glorious promise of God, but notice the reference in question and answer 74, infants as well as adults are in God's covenant and are his people. They, no less than adults, are promised the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit who produces faith. They have this promise that God has established a relationship with our children, children of believers, as well as with believers, that he summons them and us to faith in Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, this is a really, really special gift. A special gift that you've received as children of believing parents. It's a gift of grace. It's not because you deserve it. Your parents don't deserve it. It's a gift for you. It might not be something you've asked for. It might not be what you at first want. But it is a promise that where it is claimed by faith and clung to in faith, it secures your life in Jesus Christ. There is no better gift for God's people. We are all by nature born as sons of the first Adam. By nature, we are, what Paul says here, dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. But just like Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God, our children and our adults can be made new through him. What a glorious, gracious, loving God we have, who doesn't hold back and say, well, when you're ready, I'm there for you. But even before you're ready, come to me. Believe in me. The gift and the promises are yours. God communicates with us. He does so with his word as we consider his word, but he shows us in baptism the meaning. There's washing. Our hearts and our habits are made new. There's a message, the washing of Christ's blood and the washing of Christ's spirit. And there's a mark to identify us as God's covenant people, as the special recipients of this gracious, glorious promise. Amen.